What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 132, and today we're going to be touching on the dangers of getting biopsies. If you listen a few weeks back, we did the problems with cancer screening, and that's something Tom kind of pushed for. He was reading more into cancer books, and there's just so many problems with cancer screenings and really their effectiveness. So if you want to learn more about that, go ahead and check out that podcast a few weeks back. But we decided to break off biopsies kind of into their own episode because I felt like it deserved it because the dangers of biopsies are so high. And cancer affects so many people. I felt like this topic deserved its own podcast. Right, Tom? Like, we agree on that.
Yeah, this is definitely like a sequel to that one. And yeah, there are so many angles to cancer. That's why, I don't know, what is this, our 10th cancer episode? Something like that?
For sure, yeah. It's just, it's a complex thing and it's deep and it's honestly very frustrating. So I generally, or genuinely, we both wanted this podcast to be the next episode after that series. But when I really look into the cancer research and I start reading these papers, it's so frustrating for me. And I find like a resistance to it. So it took me a while to write these notes because I read these papers and I read these articles and it's so obvious to me how flawed this system is and how much damage it's doing generally to, I mean, literally millions of people this is affecting. And it really, it just irritates me and puts me in a bad mood and I stop reading. And so that's why it took me so long. And I remember we talked about this, Tom, how I was just like, I need more time. And I think that's what was going on.
Honestly, I'm the same way when it comes to cancer. I don't know, I can read about heart disease and like the bad science around that. But when it comes to cancer, I don't know, like, I don't know how many different books I've read on the topic, but every time there's at least one point in that book where I literally had to like take a break and just like listen to something funny or do something else just to get me out of that like negative mood. There's no other topic that has put me in such a bad mood more than cancer.
Yep, exactly. Same thing here. So I really had to fight through it. It took me a while to get all these notes done, but I'm proud of them. I really think it's good. I really think they're concise. And I really think they paint a picture of biopsies in a correct light. And I think everyone should know this information, genuinely. And this isn't medical advice. You know, you don't listen to this. You know, talk to your doctors. But just be informed. That's genuinely all I'm trying to do here. And so I wanted to just start off this whole podcast just mentioning like various examples through history in which the established dogma turned out not to be true. And dogma is just like the current teaching of the day, like what is being taught as correct that day. So for literally hundreds of years, the church said that the sun rotated around the earth. Everyone believed it. That was a dogma. Turned out that's not true. It's actually the opposite. We rotate around the sun. We now know that. People used to think that bad air caused diseases. This was the miasma theory. And obviously, this is not true as well. That was replaced by the germ theory of disease. And just a side note, do you imagine how hard of a sell the germ theory was? Just like, oh, hey, it's these little microbes that we can't see, can't taste, can't hear. They're causing us to get sick. Can you imagine? I feel bad for the guy who pitched that idea.
Well, that just goes back to, I forgot this president's name again, the one who got shot, got assassinated, and there's like one doctor in the room be like, hey, stop operating on him, we're just giving him infections, and all the other doctors are like, what are you talking about? Like, he's just trying to talk about the germ theory and nobody's listening to him.
Yep, yeah, the germ theory must have been a super hard sell, but obviously that's what we believe today. That is a current teaching, that actually germs and bacteria really are increase your odds of diseases, and that's true with all the information we have today. And for years, we've been told that cancer is caused by genetic mutations. This is referred to as a somatic mutation theory. This is the current dogma. And just looking at our history, just a few examples I pulled up, is there a chance that this could be wrong? And I think, yes, there is. We argue that this theory should be replaced with the mitochondrial metabolic theory. This theory has more evidence supporting it, and more importantly, in my opinion, it gives us a way forward in actually curing cancer that the somatic mutation theory doesn't. And I bring this up because biopsies only make sense when you believe the current cancer dogma, which is that cancer is caused by various genetic mutations. In that case, learning what type of mutations occurred and what type of cancer it is might be of some use if you can tailor make some cancer treatment depending on the mutations detected. That's the current end goal, at least. However, if you subscribe to the metabolic theory, biopsies are useless because this theory argues that genetic mutations occur downstream from the actual cause of cancer. They don't cause it themselves. They are the result of damage done to the mitochondria, which causes the cancer in the first place. The mutations are an effect. They aren't the cause of cancer. And this has been proven many ways, backwards and forwards. And like Tom said, we've done plenty of podcasts on this. So just go to the website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, search cancer, and you can find all of this stuff is referenced. All of this stuff is cited. We're not just making this stuff up. But one of the ways that this has been proven is literally from the results of biopsies. So actually, do you want to describe that, Tom? Because it's funny when you think about it.
Yeah, so to kind of clarify, like when we say that we think it's the mitochondrial metabolic theory, that's because that when you look at cancers, every single one of them has dysfunctional mitochondria. That's why it's a mitochondrial metabolic, and they're not able to use a proper metabolism. So like that's just kind of what that means. So every single cancer cell has a lot of genetic mutations, like that's no matter what. But the way that this has been proven is if you look at a cancer cell, you take out the nucleus and you put that from a cancer cell, you put that into a healthy cell, that healthy cell does not become cancerous. But if you do that same thing with the mitochondria, a healthy cell that has cancerous mitochondria will turn cancerous. So that's why we're saying it's the mitochondria, not the nucleus. The nucleus is where all the genetic information is. So that's how you can kind of tell. It's the easiest way. It's a simple test that's been proven, but for whatever reason, the dogma hasn't changed.
Yeah, the dogma hasn't changed. It's literally, like Tom said, you replace the mitochondria. You do that by the cytosol. You replace all that stuff. It's a cytosol, not a transfer, but a cytosol transplant. That's what it's called, a transplant. Yeah, cytosol transplant. And that causes the new healthy cell to become cancerous. It doesn't matter about the nucleus. The nucleus, like I said, is a downstream effect. Let's say liver cancer is caused by a certain set of genetic mutations. Then a biopsy anywhere in that liver tumor, like where cancer should be, where it should result in the same set of mutations in the DNA. But this doesn't happen. Every cell within a tumor has different sets of genetic mutations. So depending on where you actually biopsy the tumor, you'll get a different set of mutations in the DNA. So biopsies can tell you if a cell is cancerous, but it can't help you in identifying a clear and helpful plan of attack to actually kill the cancer cells, and that should be the goal.
Yeah, so that's just because that from that mitochondrial defect, that's causing a bunch of mutations to happen. It's not that the mutations are driving the cancer, it's that the damaged mitochondria are causing mutations, and the mutations are various. There's a bunch of different mutations going on because of the dysfunctional mitochondria. So everywhere you look on a cancer cell or a cancer tumor, you're going to see different mutations because that's what's going on. It's not one mutation driving the whole cancer.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's just those two examples that we just presented poke huge holes in the somatic theory. Yet current cancer, either researchers and doctors out there, they just don't want to hear about it because they have no real answer to it, because that really blows a hole in their whole theory. If you use the metabolic theory of cancer to guide your cancer treatments, then you don't need a biopsy, because all cancers are going to be treated the same, since all of them have the same genesis. They all have the same starting point. And like I've already mentioned, if you want to really learn more about it, go back. We have a podcast called Keto for Cancer, so just check that out. And it goes into all of that way more detail. And obviously, if I touched on that now, it would be a whole nother podcast, so I don't really want to do it. But I want to touch on the harmful effects of biopsies themselves, because that's what this whole podcast is supposed to be about. So first, with the current standard of care, getting a biopsy does nothing for how we approach the actual cancer treatment we give you. Currently, it's all a combination of toxic radiation, chemotherapy, and surgery, no matter the type of cancer. And secondly, getting a biopsy can lead to metastasis, which is a massive problem, and the reason I feel the information needs to be out there. If your cancer stays local and contained, it can be removed via surgery or simply left alone, and most of the time it'll be fine. But when the cancer spreads throughout your body, that's no longer an option, and your chances of survival drop dramatically. Metastasis is the cause of 90% of the deaths from cancer. So preventing metastasis should be the key focus in cancer treatment. Yet our current protocol actually promotes metastasis. That's so crazy. And that's the type of stuff that I read that infuriates me.
It seems like everything that we do to like combat cancer just makes the situation worse. Like we do chemotherapy, we do radiation therapy. Oh yeah, you do kill some cancer cells, but you're also killing a shit ton of healthy cells. And oh, by the way, a side effect of those treatments are also cancer. So it's like, come on, do we have at least one thing in our arsenal that isn't going to make the situation worse?
Mm-hmm. I know. It doesn't seem like we do. No. Well, when you're going from like their current view, the somatic theory, there isn't, because they're just looking at things through the wrong lens. But doing this research, I'm going to use breast cancer specifically as my primary examples, simply because it has the most data. There's a lot of money being pushed into breast cancer research, so there's just a ton of information on breast cancer, and it's just the easiest one to look up. The first thing I want to touch on is just to point out, if you can remember all the diet paradoxes we've talked about in the past, and a paradox is basically when an example, a study, or any sort of data comes out that doesn't fit the current dogma, people who are pushing that narrative, they'll just say, oh, it's a paradox. It can't be explained, but it doesn't mean our information is wrong, which makes no damn sense, but whatever. The big one in the diet world, or at least one of them, there's 100 of them, is the French paradox. And basically, it goes like this. If increased saturated fat consumption promotes heart disease, which is what we're currently told, that's the dogma, why do the French, who eat the most saturated fat in the world, have low rates of heart disease? It doesn't fit the current dogma, so it's simply referred to as the French paradox. And we've talked about that in the past. It's just, it's crazy how people can get away with that by just saying, no, we can't explain it, it's a paradox.
In any other scientific field, that paradox would either tell you that your hypothesis or your theory, whatever it is just straight up wrong. You need to figure out a new one.
And this one, they're like, nope, let's just pretend it doesn't exist. Even though yeah. France is huge, as millions of people.
In any other field, like, oh, hey, our theory or our hypothesis was proven wrong. Okay, time to either start a new one or like adjust. Try to figure out a way to make it make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And nope, they just, oh, nope, it's a paradox.
It's crazy. And again, in the diet world, it's very frustrating for us as well. But I mean, looky here, the cancer world and cancer biopsies has a paradox similar to this. And it's called the mortality paradox. So if screening cancer via biopsies is so important for early detection and subsequent better outcomes, which is what we are currently told screening does, how come women who get biopsies early in life die more from breast cancer compared to women who don't get biopsies? And this is in the age group of women 40 to 49, so this would be fairly early detection. And I want to point out, this isn't a damnation of mammograms or ultrasounds, but the surgical intervention in response to the screening. That's really the problem. Shouldn't women aged 40 to 49 know that 3 years after screening starts, their chance of death from breast cancer is more than double that for unscreened women? Let those numbers sink in, because it runs very counterintuitive, and we talked about it a little bit in the cancer screening podcast, right?
Yeah, we pretty much just talked about how the chances of over-detection, over-diagnosis, and then over-treatment is far more likely than the actual chances of benefit from the procedure or from the screening. So it's like you're far more likely to get misdiagnosed and get over-treated. And in this case, the treatment can be, unfortunately, fatal.
Yeah, it can be fatal. Yeah. So in 1992... results from the Canadian trial for women aged 40 to 49, which is a 7-year-long study. This was a very good study. It revealed 36% more deaths from breast cancer among screened women compared to unscreened women, which is the exact opposite of what you're being told. And this is due to the surgical intervention in response to screening, aka biopsies. Basically, the standard of care now is you get a mammo. If it looks weird, you'll usually get an ultrasound and then a biopsy to confirm. That's the standard of care. And the harms of biopsies has been seen in animal studies and human studies for years. This isn't new information. And I stumble across this stuff all the time doing research. Is all this information I'm researching, is none of it's new. All of this stuff has been known. It's just simply been either forgotten, or if you want to think of more like nefarious ways, we found ways to make money and just completely put the truth to the side. So you can decide for yourself what you think's going on. I think it's a little bit of both, but this study I found is from 1910. So this is over 100 years ago. The researchers was Mary and Clunet, and they found that implanted tumors in mice, if allowed to develop naturally, rarely resulted in spontaneous metastasis. However, they frequently produce metastasis if the primary implant was incompletely excised. And you can think of a biopsy as an incomplete excision. That's exactly what it is. This finding was further detailed by Tizer, who reported that for a high metastasizing mouse tumor, incomplete primary tumor excision resulted in larger metastasis than those of the control mice not undergoing tumor removal. So basically, messing with the tumor via biopsies or via excision causes more metastasis. So,
which is a very thing that you are trying to prevent.
Yes.
Like, that's the worst cancer outcome is metastasis. And all of the screenings and the biopsies is all so you can just prevent metastasis. But that's exactly what it's causing.
It's crazy. And just to go in detail how this happens, because I'm all about the science, and again, all these papers are referenced on the website, so I genuinely recommend, if you're dealing with cancer, you know anyone dealing with cancer, read these papers so you can better inform them. So this happens because neoangiogenesis, stimulated by mechanisms of wound healing, seems to be the crucial for tumor growth, and wound fluids are both directly mitogenic to tumor cells and angiogenic to avascular microscopic tumors. And basically, this means that they promote tumor cells to divide. That's what mitogenic means, to promote mitosis, which is just cell division. And biopsies create a new blood supply, angiogenic, to tumor cells that previously had no blood supply, avascular tumors. Doesn't that sound like a recipe for metastasis? Promote cancer cells to divide, and then give them a brand new blood supply to spread throughout the body. That's like metastasis 101. It's not that complicated.
Yeah, and with that new blood supply, now you're also getting a whole bunch of nutrients to grow as well. So you're getting the signal to grow, you're getting the supply to grow as well, and then you're also getting the supply to spread throughout the body.
Yeah, so crazy. And some more evidence to support this. So vascular endothelial growth factor, or VEGF, increases after surgery in patients undergoing surgery for lung and gastric cancer. For breast cancer, wound drainage fluid was found to include epidermal growth factor, endostatin, and other unidentified proliferation inducers at levels significantly higher than the corresponding base levels. The concentration of these substances correlate with the amount of surgical damage associated with tumor removal. So basically, physical trauma induces tissue damage and local inflammation, creating a favorable environment that is permissive for seeding of metastatic cells. And that's the genesis. That's what we're talking about. In addition to chronic inflammation, acute immune response caused by invasive procedures in the primary tumor may cause an increased risk of peripheral metastasis. Diagnostic core needle biopsies in breast cancer patients do induce a unique acute inflammatory response within the tumor microenvironment and have an effect on the surrounding tumor cells. Therefore, biopsies-induced inflammation could have an impact on residual tumor cell progression and or metastasis in human breast tissue. And that's it. It's a response to injury that promotes metastasis. And it's not like cancer cells are super smart. They're simply reverting back their old genetic mandate, which is the divide. That's what the first mandate our first cell got. Just think when you're... Is it a zygote? I forget the first cell when we get... What is a zygote again? Is that it?
I don't know, man. You're asking me questions that I haven't talked about in like over 15 years.
I forget. I'm pretty sure it is when our first cell starts to divide. That's what it is. That's what the first signal was. The divide's what it is. And it's the same for metastasis. And this, I want to read this quote real quick that describes it really well. So the way that tumors acquire the ability to create complex tissues does not involve their de novo invention of complex program of stromal activation. Instead, they activate a latent pre-existing wound healing program that is encoded in the normal genome, which they then use as a strategy for constructing their own tissues. End quote. So I love that. It's just because I know I've mentioned this 1,000 times that Jason Fung referenced cancer to be fairly smart and Thomas Safe Reed references cancers as fairly dumb. And in my opinion, cancer is pretty dumb just because they're not creating these own, like it says, de novo invention of complex programs. They're not. This is all old, ancient genetic code that we've honestly evolved past. But we just still have the latent code sitting around, usually dormant. But cancers activate it, and that's what they're using to grow and spread and kill people. With that in mind, this is a continuation of the quote. With that in mind, we can note that with no great surprise, a slew of downstream epiphenomena linking molecular events that favor wound healing to the progression and prognosis of breast cancer. Data from several studies show that biopsies and surgery can cause inflammatory oncotaxis, thus increasing tissue angiogenesis and spread of tumor cells, end quote. So oncotaxis, you just think of that as spreading cancer. And that's the gist of all the data. I know that stuff's complicated. I know there's a bunch of big words there, but the bullet points. I'm not saying biopsies are the only way cancer can metastasize. There are plenty of examples out there of people going to the doctor, getting a scan and realizing, hey, I have cancer everywhere, and they never got a biopsy. I'm just saying biopsies sure as shit don't help. And I think this information should be out there.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. If it's not going to change like the course of action, then what's the point? If there's a major side effect, like this one is making the cancer significantly worse, taking it from a localized point to where you can actually possibly have it surgically removed, to the point where it's going to spread throughout your body and then there is no real good treatment. So yeah, like if it's not going to change the course of action, then what's the point to begin with?
Yeah, and I think if you don't believe me as far as biopsies promoting metastasis, go out and read the current theory on what causes metastasis, because I read it. And let me tell you, that shit makes no sense. It literally talks in circles and contradicts itself so many times that it's obvious that it's not true. There's another theory out there that talks about, it's kind of how the cancer cells use the immune system to spread. And I genuinely think I want to have actually a whole another podcast on that because it's very interesting to me. It's way too much to talk about in this podcast. But the current theory on metastasis is based around the somatic mutation theory. And so you can imagine trying to build a house on a foundation that's already made of sand. That house is going to be a little shaky. And that house is that theory on metastasis. It's just plain wrong. And I just recommend just be informed. And like I said, find these links on the website and read them yourselves if you have any sort of suspicions or you doubt.
Yeah, and it's not that cancer is smart. I think cancer is pretty dumb. I think that our cancer treatments are even dumber. And we just keep, every time we try to fight it, we're actually creating a better environment for it to thrive and spread. Like, that's what's really going on with cancer. That's why it's such the, I think it's the number one killer or number two killer in our country, is because that we have no idea how to treat it. And every time we try to fix the problem, we end up making it worse. Like, that's what we're saying with these early cancer screenings. They're not preventing anything. They're more likely to cause harm than good. And the same thing with these biopsies. They're just more likely to cause harm than actually give you benefit. So it's like, we should probably just stop doing these.
Yeah, no, I think we should. And just for example, so from my understanding of cancer, if someone in my family, say, got breast cancer, say they went and got a mammogram, it came up abnormal, and they came to me and they're like, what do I do? I would say, go ahead and get an ultrasound, measure the size of this tumor, and let's say my family member, say it's my mom, she has no symptoms, she's not, you know, sick, not feeling anything like that. I would just monitor the situation. Does the tumor stay the same size for 10 years, not cause you no problems? Then leave it alone. Get your ultrasounds every year, every 6 months, whatever's recommended by your doctor. And then if it becomes a problem, if it is growing, get it taken out completely. Get a complete excision of it, not just a simple biopsy. That would be my recommendation, on top of various things we talked about in the cancer podcast as far as fasting and reducing glutamine, those type of things. But I would never recommend to get a biopsy to anyone that I genuinely cared about. So if, whatever that means to you, you know, take that information. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, I would just definitely, a lot of the things we talked about in the past. You do ketogenic diet, long-term fasting. I would definitely do some sort of, like, stress management, because you are going to be a little bit more stressed in general. And then I would try and develop a meditation. I probably stop working out so hard and dedicate more time to yoga, just to keep my blood sugar as low as possible, like, all the time, so I'm not feeding that cancer anymore. Those would just be, like, the things I would really focus on.
Yep, for sure. So yeah, that's everything I had to say about biopsies. I think this is why it deserved its own podcast, and hopefully you guys learned something. Again, you can find more information, and you can find us at TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, so feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, please rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.